Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of a high intelligence. I'm excited about getting Steve Moore back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Stephen Moore is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, an old friend of ours. He's currently the senior economics writer for the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal. My opinion, the greatest newspaper on planet Earth. If I don't do anything else, if I don't read anything else in any given day, I read my Wall Street Journal. And I'm glad to have him back on the show. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. I guess Rupert Murdoch agrees with you.
Well, I tell you what, I think he's a smart guy. I don't know whether it's a good thing for him to own the Wall Street Journal, and I know he's made a big bid there, but and I haven't heard about any news on that in the last few days, but I'll tell you what, I mean this, I've told a number of your other folks over there are friends of ours and members of our Brain Trust on the editorial board, and I just think it's the best newspaper that I've ever read.
Thank you.
Well, what I like about it, I mean, a lot of people think it's a conservative newspaper, but not long ago, your front page was identified as one of the more liberal.
Well, there's a big difference between the news division and the editorial division, and I work for the editorial page, so
right.
We believe in free markets and free enterprise, and I know that's an unusual thing in the newspaper business.
Well, it sure is, but my point is you're making my point. It's a very balanced newspaper. I mean, it's not just right wing stuff. You know, it's balanced. It's on you know all the way from one end to the other.
We advise people to when they get the paper to first read the editorial page, then you can read the rest.
Well, actually, I often do that, but I usually do is I read the front page,
right,
and the cover page, and then I glance through the middle, and then I go right to the editorial page. And usually, what I do within about three or four minutes, I've already completely folded it back, and that's where it stays. But it's a great thing, and you had a great article recently there, as you often do. But this one was a good article. It was a scary article. But he calls the title of the article, folks, is the $650 billion tax hike, and it's all about what Congress is planning for us. Why don't you go ahead and tell us about it?
Well, this is scary stuff because for the last 25 years or so, dating back to Ronald Reagan's tax cuts in 1981, for the most part, the United States has been lowering our tax rates, increasing our competitiveness, helping small businesses, helping investment by lowering the tax penalty on business and investment. And unfortunately, this Congress now wants to roll back a lot of that progress we've made. I mean,
well, now, Steve, hold on one second, Steve. I want to point something out here that you mentioned, but you kind of went by it too fast, in my opinion. The marketplace has responded positively for everybody in the process of what you just said. The tax cutting, the lowering the barrier to being a successful and a profitable business, entrepreneurship has grown. We've never had more successful businesses. Profits are up. The federal government's coffers are up as a result. And now we know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that supply-side economics works, dynamic scoring works.
That's right. And, we've had a big reduction in our tax rates in this country. And when Reagan entered office, we had a 70% highest tax rate. Today, the tax rate at the high end is down to 35%. And so we've made a lot of progress. And you're right. This has been one of the greatest experiments in supply-side economics in history. We've had a huge increase in wealth and in profits and in
especially in the last 3 or 4 years.
Pardon me?
The experiment in the last 3 or 4 years has been
magnificent. Just since George Bush cut the capital gains and dividend tax, the amount of federal revenues has increased by $750 billion.
And the deficit's come down in the face of...
it's not as if the rich aren't paying taxes. And I've said this many times on your show before, but I need to say it again, that when they talk about raising the highest tax rate and raising taxes on the, quote, rich, it turns out that about two out of every three people who are in that highest income category are small business owners who file their income not as corporations but as sole proprietors.
Right, right. Well, they own S corporations or LLCs partnerships. That's exactly right. And so that all rolls down to them.
Get hammered by the highest income tax rate going up. And of course, if those people are paying higher taxes, it means less money they have to invest in their business and less workers they can hire.
Well, and see, the thing is in addition to the increased federal revenue you were talking about that the government's taking in as a result of the economy growing like it has, the deficit has come down significantly, and that in the face of increased spending by the government, runaway spending by the government. We come back. I'm going to tell a story about the frog and the scorpion. 22, stay with us. Back, it's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Stephen Moore. Steve is the senior economics writer for the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal. I encourage you to check it out. And recently, he had another outstanding article in there about the proposed tax hike, the planned tax hike that our Congress is planning. Of course, it's being led by the Democrats, but they've got plenty of partners in crime on the Republican side, I'm sure, because of those rhinos over there, right, Steve?
Yeah, that's right. I think
remind the audience what a rhino is.
A rhino is a Republican in name only.
Did you coin that term?
I don't know. I popularized it, though.
You're the first one I ever heard mention it way back. You've been talking about that on my show for years, but yeah. I've been giving you credit for that. Okay, so here's what we got, folks. We've got an expansion, a 24-year expansion. Really, if you think about it, because you know the recession in the early 90s and the little dust up we had in the earlier part of this decade really weren't recessions in the sense of what we had in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Those weren't really all that much recessions. You could almost say we've had a 23-year expansion driven largely by lowering taxes and giving entrepreneurs more opportunity and giving businesses an opportunity to do business and hire employees, and the economy. Steve, in 1990, the U.S. economy was $6 trillion. In 2007, it's probably going to approach $13 trillion, more than doubled in 17 years. And all that, I think, largely because the government got out of the way as much as they could with regard to taxes. So what is it that Congress doesn't get about that?
Well, you really wonder about that because it's not only happening in the United States, but really all over the world. I mean, if you look over at our competitors, whether you're talking about China, India, most of the Eastern European countries, they're all lowering their tax rate.
Even Russia.
Russia has a 13% flat tax now.
Flat tax.
So they're all lowering their taxes to become more competitive using the Reaganomics model. And what's really discouraging here is the U.S. Congress wants to move in the opposite direction and raise our tax rates up to, by the way, if Charlie Rangel, the head of the tax committee, has his way, the top tax rate will go up to about 48%. That is the largest increase in taxes we'll have seen in 30 years in this country.
Mm-hmm. Well, and he's trying to do this. Why does he want to raise the taxes?
Well, what's going on here, it's all in the context of the alternative minimum tax, which you and I have talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my feeling is we should just repeal the alternative minimum tax. It's an invidious tax that socks that if it stays on the current course, it's gonna hit 25 million Americans.
Mm-hmm.
So we should probably get rid of it. But instead of getting rid of it, what they want to do is alleviate it for some people and then raise taxes on the rich to pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Folks, what it amounts to, back in the 70s, maybe late 60s, or sometime in the 70s, there were a handful of folks who were not paying any taxes.
Right.
and they were ultra rich, and so they passed this alternative minimum tax to catch those guys and make them pay some taxes. Well, by the time you know, as it evolved, it wasn't indexed for inflation, so more and more people got caught in that. Well, in 1986, when they passed the Tax Reform Act of 86, they ended all the tax breaks that the government didn't like, that those people were how they were using it. They were using that to avoid the taxes. So all those advantages went away, but they didn't end the tax. And so the tax really has no basis today. The reason for it being there isn't even there anymore, is it?
No, I mean, as you said, originally it was for 150 rich families that were reportedly not paying any federal income tax, and now you've got, you know, millions of families paying for it, and it's a tax without a purpose. It's just become a revenue cow for the government, and they don't want to give it up.
Well, it reminds me of the estate tax, Steve, which, as you know, was created to fight to raise money for the Spanish-American War, which is over, and I'm pretty sure we won that one. So that war is over for 500 years.
And the point here is, anytime Congress says they want to only raise taxes on the rich, get your umbrella out because they're coming after you. I mean, the AMT is the perfect example of a tax that was supposed to hit the rich and now hits millions and millions of middle-class people.
So what we now know is politicians never met a tax they didn't like, Republican and Democrat, apparently, it seems today. And maybe I'm maligning some of the Republicans unnecessarily, and maybe some Democrats, who knows. But what do you think the chances are that Rangel's going to get this through?
Well, the good news is that George Bush will veto any bill that repeals his tax cuts, and as well he should. But the problem is what happens, excuse me, after 2008. As you know, we've got a presidential election next year, and depending on who's elected, they may repeal the whole Bush tax cuts and then move us back to the tax policies we had in the bad old days of the 1970s.
As much as the Congress likes to spend money, you'd think that they would stick with what they've got, which is working, which is giving them more money to spend. It reminds me of the scorpion and the frog story, Steve. Do you know this one where the scorpion says to the frog, "Will you take me across the pond?" And the frog said, "No, you'll sting me." And the scorpion says, "No, I won't. Why would I do that? If I did that, we'd both die." And the frog said, "Well, okay, that's logical. That makes sense. Okay, get on." So they start across the pond, the scorpion on the frog's back, and they're swimming along there, and the scorpion stings the frog. And the frog looks up as they're both going down to drown, and he says, "Why did you do that? Now we're both going to drown." And the scorpion said, "It's just my nature." And so, Steve, apparently, even in the face of evidence that lower taxes creates more revenue for the government, it's just Congress's nature to raise taxes, isn't it?
No, I think that's a good example, and this is really about penalizing the rich. It's not about getting more money out of the rich. It's about imposing punitive measures on them, partly because a lot of...
And Steve, hold on, we got to go to a break. Let's don't just talk about the rich, because don't forget, the rich create jobs.
Yes,
Tintel,
exactly.
Stay with us. Steve Moore and I will be right back. Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Stephen Moore. He is the senior economics writer for the editorial page. And folks, in addition to his bylined article that you'll see in the Wall Street Journal from time to time, when you read any of the economics angles that they write in there on the editorial side of the editorial page, the op-ed pages, that's Steve's work, and Steve, I enjoy that very much, and it's always good to know that you're behind that. Give us the website, please.
It's WSJ.com.
WSJ.com. And by the way, folks, not only, Steve, have I got a print subscription, which I pay for, by the way. You guys don't give it to me. and I also have an online subscription, which is very handy.
Good.
Okay. I was talking about the nature, how the scorpion, we were talking about how it's the scorpion's nature to just basically kill themselves, even though what's in front of them is an opportunity to survive. I mean, what is it about politicians that they don't understand, especially Democrats, I think, right now? They don't say, wait a minute, My goal is not to raise taxes. My goal is to have more money to spend. And if lowering taxes gives me more money, why don't I start loving lower taxes? Steve, explain that
to me. Well, a lot of them are members of the Flat Earth Society. They just don't understand that when you cut tax rates, you reinvigorate the economy, you get small businesses making more money, and that leads to more hires and more tax payments. They just don't understand that, Jim. I mean, it seems to you and me that it's self-evident. It's one of those things that you just look around and see how the tax rate reductions have worked, but they just don't see it that way.
Well, and they go out into their districts and they say, we're for jobs, we're going to create more jobs, and we're also going to raise your taxes. And they don't realize that they've just contradicted themselves.
Yeah, and my old friend Dick Armey, who was the House Majority Leader for many years, that used to say that the liberals love jobs, but they hate employers. You know, and you can't have one without the other.
Well, and what was the guy's name? The senator from, was it Maine? He died with cancer recently. What was his a few years ago? I'm trying to remember his name. But he tried to tell his party, he was a Democrat. I'll think of his name in a minute. He's a great guy.
Paul Tsongas?
Paul Tsongas, yes, thank you. Paul used to tell his party, guys, we can be Democrats and not hate employers.
Yeah. Well, the same thing now on the Democratic side of the aisle, you know, in the presidential race, there's only one candidate out of 10 who really gets this, and that's Bill Richardson of New Mexico, the governor there, who wants to cut taxes. And when they have these debates, he keeps telling his colleagues, Hillary and Obama, he's like, we can't grow the economy by raising taxes.
But a guy like that can't get nominated in the Democrat side, can he?
Well, I'd like to think somebody like that could, because don't forget, Jim, John F. Kennedy was one of the first supply-siders.
Right.
John F. Kennedy cut taxes when he was president.
Right. Where did they go wrong? Where did they get hijacked?
I think it was the liberalism of the late 70s and 80s when you had presidential candidates like George McGovern and Walter Mondale and Michael Dukakis, and that's when the left really took over that party, and they moved away from JFK pro-growth economics. Don't forget, Jim, it was John F. Kennedy, not Ronald Reagan. John F. Kennedy said, a rising tide lifts all boats.
Right, exactly. Well, we need to channel Ted Kennedy's brother into him a little bit. We need to have a seance or something and maybe try to change his mind.
Needless to say, Ted doesn't get this.
No, that's exactly right. And folks, I'll tell you, gird your loins because you know, save a presidential veto. This is something that Charlie Rangel is planning on doing, isn't it? Raising these taxes.
Yep, they want a big increase in the tax rates, and that if it happens, I think it really would wreck this economy.
Well, what are the chances that they would actually raise the taxes under the auspices of doing away with the impact of the AMT, but actually not fixing the AMT? I mean, maybe we'd have a compounding problem. What do you think?
Well, I think that they are hell-bent on trying to reverse the Bush policies. They hate Bush so much, they just hate
anything
associated with him. And I think you could possibly see, you know, a major tax rate increase passed this Congress, but I do feel confident that George Bush would veto it and that they would not have the votes to override that veto.
What's amazing is Europe is doing everything that they can now.
Look at France.
France and Germany
elected somebody who's, you know, going to move the French economy. The French have been socialists. He's going to move them more to a free market system. I mean, it's happening all over the world, and that's why it's frustrating when the U.S. Congress wants to move in the opposite direction.
I mean, here we've been the beacon of entrepreneurship and free trade all these years now, and now we're trying to go the other way. What's wrong with that picture? I feel like I'm in bizarro world, Steve. What do you think?
Oh, I could not agree more. I mean, I'm so frustrated because, you know, you look at Ireland, it's the Hong Kong of Europe now. They cut their business taxes to 15%.
Hey, Steve, I got to wrap it up. Will you come back again real soon?
I'd love to.
Thanks. Stephen Moore, ladies and gentlemen, with Wall Street Journal. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.